Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Praise God. Glory to God. Acts chapter 6, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go there and preach from that passage this morning. For those of you who have children, and maybe for some of you who have been a little bit inquisitive and have poked your head out the back there, you'll notice that we now have our kids' facilities up and running. Amen. How many people are glad of that? Let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Can I just say this, though, that there are still some things to do. We want to still bring some walls right up to the roof. We want to continue on with some air conditioning. And so can I just encourage you, especially parents, that the job is not finished, amen, that there is more to do. We're going to continue to do that. But we do thank God for blessing us with the ability and the finances to make that happen, but there's more to come, amen. There's more to do, and we'll be doing that over the coming weeks. Just want to encourage you about that this morning. But also, I just want to give a shout out to all the volunteers who helped over the last number of months. I mean, let's give them all a hand this morning. Hallelujah. And you know, there are too many volunteers to name everybody. And, I'm reluctant at times just to single out anybody in particular, but you know, as we can't name everybody, but there are two men that I really want to just give a shout out to this morning, in that they've been out the back there almost every day, Monday to Friday, for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And so, you know, once again, I appreciate every other volunteer, but these guys, you know, they've obviously had the time, they've gone over and above, I mean, what they needed to do, and I just want to really thank them this morning. And that's Daryl Beaton and Ken Sullivan. Let's give them a hand this morning. Thank them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. And once again, that's not taking away from anything that anybody else has done. We thank you, but they've just done so much over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Just really wanted to give them a shout out this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know it's good to serve in the house of God? Amen. I'm reminded of a story. In fact, I read it the other night while I was online, and I thought, oh, man, I remember hearing that story many years ago, but it goes something like this, and I hope I can do this justice this morning, but there was a pastor that was preaching and encouraging his church that they needed to become everything that God wanted them to become, and that there was more for that church. And and as he's preaching, he's getting a little bit fired up, and he's saying, you know what, in the past, this church has crawled, but you know, God, how many people know God wants this church to walk? And the people, yeah, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And you know, he was kind of getting a bit stirred up and encouraged, and it says, once we begin to walk, how many people know that God wants the church to run? And everyone's cheering, let the church run, preacher, let the church run. And so he's really getting excited now. He says, and when they finish running, God wants us to soar. And they say, let it soar, preacher, let the church soar. And he's getting really excited. Now all we need to do is, each and every one of us, we need to make a decision. We're going to give our all in serving the King. And it went really quiet. And someone from the back said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. How many people know that God builds his church? That he is the foundation, he is the beginning, and he is the end, amen. But in his wisdom, he has chosen to allow us to partner with him, amen, in serving in the church of Jesus Christ. And there is a call upon each and every one of us this morning to serve, to do something, amen, for God. Not for a church, not for a denomination, not for a man or a woman of God this morning, but we're all called to serve for the glory of God this morning. And in our text, we're going to look at it in the morning, in a moment. It's Acts chapter 6, and I want to read the first 8 verses. And many of you would have read this in the past, but I just want to set the picture for you. The church is in revival. Amen. People are being saved by the tens, by the hundreds, and by the thousands. We know that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. What was it? 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of God. Now, that's what I call Holy Ghost preaching and Holy Ghost revival. Can you say amen? And so the church is growing, and the church is in revival, and more people are being added to the church daily. But there were some things that began to happen, that were beginning to happen, which happens wherever you get a group of people from different walks of life and they gather together. One of the things that happens is that people begin to niggle each other. Now, we know that that doesn't happen in your life. We know that you're not like this, but the truth is when most people gather together and they're from all walks of life, they begin to niggle each other. And so there was a problem happening in Acts chapter 6, and what it was is the Greeks and the Hebrews were fighting and arguing because they were saying the Hebrew people who were without food, they're getting favoritism over the Greeks. And so they go to the apostles and they begin to air their grievances. And, you know, this is what's happening. We're not getting enough food and they're this. And there's just niggle, niggle, niggle going on. And so we pick up our text in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And it says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, the apostles, called a meeting of all the believers." Notice all the believers there. "And they said, 'We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. And so, brothers and sisters, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word.' Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but you'll get the picture; Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message," listen to this, "continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted as well. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people." Amen. Now I want to preach this morning a message I've simply entitled, "The Call to Serve." Amen. Now how many people know that we are all called to serve in the house of God? That the call to serve is placed upon each and every one of us this morning. And I remember hearing a statement, and many of you would have heard me say this before, but I heard this statement in the early stages of my Christianity. This preacher gets up and he says this. He said, "Christianity is not a spectator religion." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that is a powerful statement this morning. Christianity is not a spectator religion. In other words, this morning, it's not the many who watch the few. I mean, in other words, spectating. But it's not a spectator religion this morning. But every single one of us this morning are called to serve in the house of God. Did you know that to make this service happen this morning? And how many people are glad to be in church this morning? Amen. Half of you, praise God. How many of you are glad to be in church this morning? Amen. It's awesome to be amongst brothers and sisters as Christ. I love, getting together and worshiping the King. I love being in His presence. But did you know to make this happen, amen, it just didn't automatically by osmosis all come together over the weekend. The chairs didn't set themselves out. the music, the team didn't come here and said, oh, what should we sing this one? Oh, no, let's try this and let's hope this works because we've never sung this before. How many people know that's not the way things work? Do you know that there are some people, some of our brothers and sisters from the Perth region, they were up and on the road before 6 o'clock this morning to come and serve us in the house of God. Yeah, they deserve a hand this morning. There have been people working in the house of God. They've been practicing drums. They've been practicing their instruments. There have been people working out in the kids' area. Amen. And when we come to church and we enjoy the presence of God and we love the feel of what's happening in our church, this didn't happen by accident. We don't just rock up on a Sunday morning and say, well, let's see what happens today. And obviously, we're open to the Spirit of God taking us where He wants us to take us. Amen. But there's plans. There's work, there's people that volunteered and given their time to make this morning happen. I know I've shared this with you before, but someone said that sometimes Christianity is a little bit like going to watch an AFL game. There's 44 people running around for 2.5 hours who are desperately in need of a rest, being cheered on by 45,000 other people who desperately need to get fit. Amen. And sometimes if we're not careful in the house of God, we can come to church and there's nothing wrong with coming to church and enjoying His presence. But we need to be looking around and say, who's doing the work? Can I help? We need to put our hands up and say, yeah, is there something I can do? Can I get involved? Is there something I can do during the week? Can I serve on a Sunday morning? Because can I say it again? Christianity is not a spectator religion. You see, each and every one of us this morning, every single person that has encountered the Lord Jesus Christ have been called, gifted, and empowered to serve. Every single one of us. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And it talks about the body, and it draws an analogy when Paul's writing, and he takes the analogy of a human body, and he likens it to the body of Christ. And he begins to talk about the fact that the body has so many different parts and functions, yet every single part of the human body is absolutely vital for that body to experience all that God created it for. Now, there are certain parts of the body, you can cut them off, amen. You know, my nephew Dan, he could have lost his arm, thank God he didn't. And he could have lived on, and he could have served God, and he could have raised his family and all those things, but he's been gifted as a musician, and so he could still serve God, but he couldn't do all that God created him to do. Now, you can cut a toe off, and a body can function, amen. But the truth is, when you take a part of the body off, no matter how small you think it is, the body might still be able to function, but it can't function quite as well as it would have done if that little part was still there. And so this morning, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says in verse 7, listen to this, a spiritual gift is given to each and every one of us, listen, so we can help each other. And it's a tremendous chapter, and I encourage you later on in your own time to go away and read that chapter. But Paul, he boils it all down in one verse. The Spirit gives each and every one of us a gift so that we can bless and help others. In other words, there's a gift that is in your life that God has deposited there that you would be a blessing to the church and to other people. And we might be able to function without you doing whatever it is that God's called you to do, but we are more complete when you're involved. We are more complete when you are a part of what God's doing here at Nations Bunbury. Amen. Another reason we serve this morning is to show people the unconditional love of God. Someone said, an opportunity to serve is an opportunity to be more like Jesus. Amen. Think about Jesus on the cross. And we all know the story. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating what Jesus did on the cross. And more importantly, what he did on the third day. But you know this morning, for every resurrection, there has to first be a death. And thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for what Jesus did on the Sunday. But he had to be crucified on the Friday. He had to allow, amen, things to happen to him that he did not deserve. And we know that there's a couple of places in Scripture, you know, when the centurions are there and the scribes and the Pharisees, religious people can be the worst, can't they? You say you're God, you say you're the Son of God. Why don't you call down and ask God to deliver you? How many people know Jesus could have done that at any moment? I don't know about you, but if that was me on the cross, I would have called thousands upon down and made them an ink spot. But Jesus had a different mindset to what I would have. He had a different mindset to what you and I might have this morning. He was there to serve others. And in fact, Jesus makes this powerful statement while he's on the cross as they're mocking him. People who had beaten him, people who had torn the skin off of his back and his body, people who were crucifying him. He looks down upon them and he says these powerful words. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in Matthew 27 and Luke 23, you can read about some of the centurions and one of them in particular. When Jesus dies, he looked up, the Bible says, he glorified God and said, surely this was the Son of God. And I would argue that along with the thief on the cross, that this was one of Jesus' first converts. But because he chose not to respond, but he chose to serve those around him. And he didn't serve this morning for what he could get out of it. I mean, how many people know that? Jesus wasn't getting a good deal. In fact, Jesus got exactly the opposite of what he deserved, yet Jesus chose this morning to continue to serve. And you and I, we're here in this building this morning. We are saved. We are in our right mind. We are having our lives restored because Jesus chose to serve and not to respond. You see, this morning, we have no excuses not to serve. Oh, but Steve, people have offended me. And? 2 Timothy 2:24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, listen to this, and be patient with difficult people. A servant of God must work with difficult... How many people know Jesus had some difficult people in his life when he was crucified? But he made a decision that he wasn't going to respond out of hurt. He made a decision that he was going to serve them and do what God had called him to do. You see, it's easy to serve nice people. There are a lot of nice people in the church. I'm talking about the church globally. But did you know this? Do you know there are some people in the church that are actually not nice? Have you ever met one of them? You're probably thinking, yeah, I'm looking at one. A servant of God will work and serve not just nice people, but difficult people. And the truth is this morning, we have all been offended by someone in the church. I've been offended by people in the church. You know, I have offended people in the church. But Jesus doesn't say serve those who don't offend you. Jesus just says serve, regardless of what happens. But you know what? You know, do you know how many times they've offended me? You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 is a great chapter about how to deal with offenses. And Jesus is teaching on how to handle people who have offended you. And he's giving some great teaching on this. And Peter says these famous words. He says, well, Lord, he says, how many times should I forgive them? Seven times? I'll just put my hand up. I know that's not seven. How many times shall I, you know, seven times? And I can imagine Peter right there thinking, you know, he's probably thinking, I'll say seven, that's going to really impress God. So, Jesus, I'm prepared to forgive seven times. And Jesus looks at him, says, no, Peter, not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. Now, for those mathematics amongst us this morning, the answer to that is 490. But how many people know Jesus wasn't picking a number saying, once it's 490, then you can let them go? I can imagine someone, they've got all these, you know, you ever see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 1, 485, it's not long now. Once I tick 400, that's it. You're gone, buddy. I'm sticking the boots. How many people know that's not what Jesus was talking about? Jesus was using, was it hyperbole, I think is the word, hyperbole to say, it's not 70 times 7, 490. What he was literally trying to say was, as many times as someone offends you and they ask for forgiveness, you forgive them and you continue to serve them. Because that this morning is the heart of God. You see, the call to serve is an all-encompassing call. It's not a call to serve God because, you know, we all love God, don't we? I like serving God. It's just you people. No, sorry, didn't mean. It's an all-encompassing call this morning. We're called to serve God. We are called to serve the church. And we are called to serve the lost this morning. You know, if anyone deserves our service this morning, it's God. Is that right? And we have no problems with that. You know, he died for me. If you ever watched The Passion, and I don't recommend that you do, it is a hard film to watch. But you know, as horrific as that film is, it still doesn't describe everything that Jesus went through. And he did that for you and for me. He did that for all of us this morning. And so serving God is not easy, but serving one another, now that's a little bit different, isn't it? We've already talked about the fact that there can be some discontentment when people gather together. But once again, Paul writes in Galatians 5:13, if you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. And he doesn't stop there. He says, serve one another in love. Now, there's a difference between serving one another and serving one another in love. Because we can serve people, and to my shame, I've been guilty of this, but we can go home and whinge about them. Yeah, well, I've been out with such and such, and you know, I was serving them and I was with them, but boy, they just drive me nuts. We've all done that. Well, I have. But God doesn't, we'll just serve people. He doesn't say, just put up with them. He says, serve them in love. This morning, not only are we called to serve God, not only are we called to serve one another, but we're called to serve the lost. You know, when we became a part of Nations Church last November, and I was speaking with some of the leadership up there, and Pastor Chrissy began to talk about a new ministry that they had recently launched. It's a ministry called Heroes, and I think most of us have probably heard of that by now. But for those of you who haven't heard of Heroes, what it is, it's a ministry that is to serve families with children who have some form of disability. And we all know that PK and Pastor Chrissy, they have a son who has a disability, a significant disability. And so they have a heart for parents like that. So they started this ministry, and basically what they have, all of these volunteers, and families can come and bring their children. And there's a volunteer, the aim is to have one volunteer for every disabled child that is there. And just spend an hour or two and just ministering to these kids. And while they're doing that, there are other volunteers sitting with the parents and just giving them some free time just to relax. And there are so many stories. There is one woman, I think she had either two or three disabled children. She's a single mother. And I don't know how that all happened. But she had her children playing, and she could see them through the glass windows there, and she was sat down with some of the people in the church, and she broke down in tears. She said, you know, this is the first time since my children have been born that I've been able to just sit down and relax and not worry about my kids for a period of time. You know, this ministry is so powerful that it's not just volunteers from Nations Church, but there are non-Christians who are volunteering to help this ministry. That's powerful this morning. There are non-Christians, you know, and some of them have joined the church, but more importantly, some of them have gotten saved through this ministry. And that's worth giving God praise this morning. And I know right now Port Kennedy, they're trying to get this ministry up and running in the Port Kennedy area. You know, we've talked to PK and Chrissy that at some stage when we're in a place, we'd love to run that ministry down here in Bunbury. And there are so many things that we can do, amen, not just to serve God, not just to serve each other, but there are so many opportunities to serve the lost, those who are outside the four walls of the sanctuary. You know, there's a book called Join This Chariot. So it's an old book, but it's a great book. And one of the statements that the author writes, it says that unsaved people rarely come to church. And given that unsaved people rarely come to church, the church needs to go to them rather than them coming to us. Amen? And so it's ministries like this, Heroes, where we can go out into the community and we can serve people. And you know, the great thing about this ministry of Heroes, that there's no strings attached. You don't have to come to a service. You don't have to be a Christian. We just want to bless you. What's that old saying? You know, is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you know, we do that, we serve them, we ought to do it with no strings attached, and we ought to do it recognizing, amen, there's nothing that we can do, amen, amen, to force people, you know, into becoming Christians or force our beliefs down their throat this morning. But let me say this, when you serve people, you earn the right to speak into their lives. When you serve someone, you earn the right. Or I should probably say it this way, you earn the privilege to speak into their life. That's the power of serving this morning. You see, a serving church is a healthy church. Amen. Now, I'm running out of time, but I want to quickly go through a few quick things from our text. serving others brings contentment to our lives. In our text, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. And so we read the rest of the story. And so the apostles, the idea they come up with, you know what? We're exhausted. The apostles, we can't continue to feed you. We've got other ministries that God's called us to. Appoint others to do this. And so in other words, when the apostles saw this discontent, people were arguing, they didn't have a six-week course on how to get on with people. They didn't say, well, I'm going to preach a series of messages on how you should relate to people. They just came up with one answer. They said, just serve each other. Just serve each other. That'll sort the problem out. You see, in serving others, we overcome our differences. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. I'm Greek. I'm Hebrew. They don't understand. Is this, is this, that. You know, I'm Irish. That's why I do some of the silly things. No. You know, the reason I've got a temper is because I'm Irish. The reason I do this is because I come from this country. How many people know when we get saved, we're no longer Irish, we're no longer Filipino, we're no longer Australian, we're no longer Italian, we are Christians. We all become a part of the family of God. And we're no longer Greeks or Hebrews or Filipinos or Irish or Italians or Aussies or whatever it might be, but we're Christians in the house of God. I haven't got time to really do all this justice this morning, but serving helps share the load. You know, the apostle said, you know, we've got things that we've got to do. We can't do that and serve. We've got to get other people involved. Appoint some men to do this. Appoint some people to get involved. Serving this morning fosters unity. In verse 5, everyone liked this idea. I love the way the Bible says that. Everyone, for the first time in I don't know how long, everybody agreed with something because they were called to serve. Serving this morning helps spread the gospel and brings growth. In verse 7, after hearing the complaints, after telling the disciples, the church, what to do, and after implementing this idea of serving one another, in verse 7, the Bible says, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted as well. See, the church was in revival, but there were problems. The church was growing rapidly, but there was infighting. The church was growing, but there was discontentment. But what brought them all together was when the apostles said, you know what? Just serve one another. One of the last couple of things I want to talk to you about this morning is that we have to serve in the small before we serve in the big. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And you know, as humans this morning, we have this strange idea that there's big ministries and there's little ministries. There's really, really important ministries and there's not so important ministries. And so when I talk about big and small, that's not what I'm talking about. But the Bible clearly says that God trusts us with little before he releases larger things into our lives. And the last thing I want to finish with this morning is that small does not mean unimportant. Small does not mean that it's unimportant this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 22, and I want to read this quickly, and I really don't have time to do this justice, but I want you to read this in your own time. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, I get these mental pictures, you know, when I read this. How would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put, listen to this, each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Verse 22, listen to this. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I shared a story at Heartbeat Summit, which is a day where we celebrate our volunteers at Nations Church. And many years ago, before we were in this building, we just over in the Italian Club members bar, we held church. And at this time, there was about 30 people in the church. And there was a young guy by the name of Ryan. Ryan and Jessica, a Filipino couple, they're now in Sydney. Many of you know them, and you know, we're still in contact with them. But Ryan came, and Jessica was still in the Philippines, and he was working and trying to get a visa and bring them out. And he would come in each Sunday, and every Sunday I didn't manage to get to talk to him. And you know, sometimes I could have made more of an effort. But one of the guys in the church, Kevin Wallace, who many of you know, he comes and he helps set up the kids' church every Sunday morning. He does other things in the church, and but Kevin just went over to Ryan one morning and introduced himself and says, hey, would you like to come for lunch? And so he invited Ryan for lunch, and he did that a number of times. And then Ryan became a part of the church because Kevin just simply said, do you want to come and have lunch? Jessica, his wife, finally got a visa. She came over. They've now had numbers of children. Amen. They're a family now. And after that, there are other couples that came in, through Ryan. And, Ryan and Jess began to spread the word, and Junior and Marika came into the church, and then Dennis and April came into the church, and there are numbers of Filipino brothers and sisters in the church today. And today, there are more of our Filipino brothers and sisters in Nations Church than there was in the entire church way back then. And I just wonder what would have happened if Kevin hadn't have gone to them and said, hey, Ryan, would you like to come and have lunch with me? You see, small doesn't mean unimportant. We all have a role to play in serving God. And we don't have to be perfect. Pastor Mark Varughese said these words, God can work through you while he works in you. So we don't have to be perfect this morning. We simply need to be available. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.